Doing pretty good, it sounds like. Well, it's that time again. We get to worship our Savior. We get to worship our Lord. We get to come before the one who came before us at the foundation of the world and said, I'll take their place. They're guilty, but I will take their punishment. I'm the spotless lamb. I will be worthy of this sacrifice. Because of that, you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace today. So would you stand with me? Lord, we just come before you today, Lord, with, Lord, open hearts. Lord, we leave the distractions of the week behind right now. Lord, we leave the entanglements, Lord, of shortcomings and mistakes and even sin, Lord, right now, God. And we look to you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there was a joy that was set before you that empowered you to endure the cross and despising the shame that it brought. And we were your joy. We were your joy, Lord. We, Lord, bring you joy, God. And Lord, we thank you today that now we can return as humble, thankful, grateful servants, loving children, our gratitude and worship today. So we do, Lord, we thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for being the one that took our place. We thank you, Father, that you gave your only begotten Son so that we could have everlasting life. And right now, we lift the name of Jesus high in this place. We exalt him in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
so great. You're so mighty, God. God, we can look to you for everything that we need. Everything, God. There's not a thing that we can't say, God, we need you. We need you, God. For every situation, Lord, you are there. Thank you, Jesus. One more time.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
I need to sing it my
God is greater. Who is worthy? I'm gonna shout your name.
Jesus is just, he's so great. No matter what is going on, no matter what we have, no matter what obstacle we're facing, no matter what's thrown in our paths, it's all about Jesus. My wife and I have had a really tough past 6 days, whatever. And I'm playing the drums and I'm like, man, this, I'm just thinking about all this stuff. And then we sang the song before this, The Great I Am. And then we went into this place of freedom. That's what it's all about. It's not about the junk of life. It's not about any of that. It's about Jesus. It's about him being our great I Am. It's about him being our freedom. It's about us coming, opening up and just saying, God, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I thank you for everything that's going on right now. As hard as it may be, he's got it all worked out already. So as we bring this back up, you just say, Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you for everything that's going on. No matter your circumstance, no matter where you're at, no matter what obstacle you're facing, Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, you are the great I Am. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we shout for joy at your name, Jesus.
Good morning, everybody. Here's what Jesus says to each and every person that will listen. He says, make me the focal point of your search for security. In your private thoughts, you are still trying to order your world so that it is predictable and feels safe. Not only is this an impossible goal, but it is also counterproductive to spiritual growth. When your private world feels unsteady and you grip my hand for support, you are living in conscious dependence on me. Instead of yearning for a problem-free life, rejoice that trouble can highlight your awareness of my presence. In the darkness of adversity, you are able to see more clearly the radiance of my face. Accept the value of problems in this life, considering them pure joy. Remember, you have an eternity of trouble-free living awaiting you in heaven. People, we need to cast our cares upon the one who can take them. It's not our job. We need to lay our lives down.
So you guys, I was upstairs worshiping, and I just really, God started to speak to me when the song that Lynette was playing, when it says, I will shout for joy at the mention of your name. And he has done so much for us, you guys. Jesus has done so much. He's given up everything. He sacrificed so much so that we could have everything, that we could have eternal life, that we could be free. And we just need to shout for joy at the mention of his name today. Jesus! 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 We love you, Jesus! Jesus! Yes, Lord! Jesus,
the great unknown. oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. You are mine, Lord. I will rest in you.
You need to picture this, what I'm seeing. It's an operating room in a desert. The Lord is the physician. He's the surgeon. And he's trying to restore and give life to the spiritually dead. He's touching those that are weak in spirit. And not always when we shout to the Lord is that necessary. Sometimes it is. But in the wee corner of this hospital, a voice is just softly saying, Jesus, Jesus, calling Jesus' name. And Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, looks in that direction. He never moves, but his eyes fall upon this wounded one. And when they meet, he is restored. He is restored. He knew all he had to do was speak the name of Jesus, and he would be healed. We just need to speak or shout the name of Jesus, and we will be healed. Claim your heritage. You will be healed if you speak forth the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I hear a lot of shouting going on. I've been shouting for the last week or two, and as I'm driving to my job site, I just get into the presence of God, and just me in that automobile up and down the road, screaming to the top of my head for the shout for Jesus. Jesus gave me the opportunity here a couple of days ago. Was a Peking Palace restaurant down on North First Street. I was invited to come down and pray for the owner of that place. He was curious about some words about how you get saved. And he said he's in an area now that he running a restaurant with alcohol in it and stuff. And he's trying to decide, should he run alcohol in his restaurant? Asking me these questions. I told him it's between you and God. Amen. But anyway, I led him to the Lord. Shatta. Man. Woo. God has opened some doors, let me tell you. He opened some doors for me. Ever since I've been in that 90-day challenge with that reading from Matthew's and Revelation, God's starting to open some doors. God is getting ready, saints. That's why we should be shouting right now in the name of Jesus. That is kind of weak. You need to shout. You need to stand to your feet. And you need to give God some praise. You need to give God some praise. We got enough voices in here. We can rock this foundation. We can rock the foundation, Satan. If you stand on him, stand up and give him what you got. God going to honor you for that because you got a powerful word for somebody. I want somebody to shout for Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. That's those voices. The heart is ready to be pierced. The heart is going to be set on fire today. Come on, that you ain't done yet. Go ahead. You ain't done yet. Jesus, we give you the automation of everything. We give it to you, Father. We're not holding nothing back, Lord. That lady says, shout. In the balcony, shout to the Lord. There you go. Give it to him. Oh, yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him one more praise offering. Yeah, mama.
Hello? So I'm standing back over here and just feel like God wants all of us to know that he's just crying down each and every one of us. Son, daughter, why can't you see that I'm the one who understands? I'm the one who can help you. I'm the one who's just has been there this whole time. You don't have to hide anything. I've been here. I see. I know. Just come to me. I want you. I love you. Yes. I need you. You belong to me. You belong with me. You are mine. Just come to me right now.
On the one I love, my heart is fixed on you. My heart is fixed on the one I love. My heart is fixed on you. Oh God, my heart is fixed on the one I love. My heart is fixed on you. I place my life into your hands. I trust you with my heart. I place my life into your hands. I trust you with my heart. Oh, my heart is fixed on the one I love. My heart is fixed on you. My heart is fixed on the one I love. My heart is fixed on you.
Father, we yield and we surrender to your drawing today. We give you, Lord, all the baggage, all the junk, Lord, in our trunks. And as your word said to us, help us see you. Help us realize you've been here the whole time. Help us realize, Lord, that you see us just as we are and you say, child, I love you. Lord, let us gaze, Lord, into those beautiful eyes of yours and receive, Lord, the compassion and the grace that's waiting for us right now. Lord, our hearts are fixed on you right now. We choose to gaze at you right now, Lord. And we receive, Lord, your grace into our lives.
Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean.
Hi. I lost a client this last week. Somebody that I came to care about a lot in the last year and a half that she allowed me to care and work for her. And I went to her funeral on Friday, and the pastor said, there's something that happens when we give it to God. When we give everything that we have, all of our problems, all of our issues, all of our doubts, all of our pains, He transforms them. He transforms them for His will and for His good in our life and those that we touch. This woman in her 80 years touched a lot of people in a lot of ways that you would never have known. And I learned more about her in an hour's funeral than I learned about her in a whole year. But when He said those words to me, it was wow. It is so true, because we don't trust Him with the bad stuff. We tell Him about the good stuff. And right now we're all talking about how thankful we are for the good things. But we need to be thankful for those bad things, because when we give them to Him, we have a place to go, and He transforms them for us, for His glory. And He transforms us for His glory, no matter where we're at, no matter what we do. I have been really slacking the last couple weeks. I haven't been here. I've been tired. It's been my excuse. But He still draws me here, and He still draws me to Him, and He still says, beloved, you are mine. Give it to me. Give all of it to me, because I will care for it for you, and I will make you better.
As I speak, I'm going to ask Diane and Rick and David and Tanya to make their way down to come up front for me. As we were worshiping and singing, and it was saying, all my hopes, all my fears, all my cares, everything I give to you. It's really easy to trust in a God that's going to give us eternal life, because we don't know about what happens there, you know, in eternity. We know what happens here on earth. And we can control this, but God, I'll trust you, because I need that, because I don't know about that. How hard is it to trust Him with everything now? You know what I mean? I mean, it's easy to believe in a God that's going to give me eternal life that I don't quite understand, but it's way harder to believe in a God that can make my life okay here on earth. I shared with my husband a few months ago about Mary and Martha, and about how Martha came to Jesus, and Martha believed in the future Jesus, the future God of what He was going to do in her life. She had a hard time believing that it could happen now, but Mary could believe for now, and that's what we're going to do right now. Diane is getting ready to go for surgery on Tuesday in Portland, and it's an extensive surgery. For cancer. I hope this is okay that I'm telling everybody. I guess it is, but and it's going to be an all-day surgery. It's very extensive. So we need to pray for Diane, and we need to believe not for the here and after, but for the now. Not for then, but for now. Because Jesus on the cross, the provision was made on the cross for her healing. And this body can line up with the provision of what that cross work did. Amen? So we're going to pray for Diane. And I'm going to ask everybody, if you don't mind, please stand. And let your hearts of faith extend toward her as we lay hands on her. And if you feel God is asking you to come forward and pray, please do. We would love to have you. And I'm going to ask Pastor Brenda to come forward to pray as well. Pastor Brenda, and I'm going to ask Teresa to come. Both of these women have been healed of cancer. Their faith is so strong, and they believe. And so we just want our faith to connect with Diane's faith and believe that God has got this all under control.
Father, we thank You, Lord, that we don't have to beg. We just have to agree. Lord, with what you've already done, Lord, in heaven, what you've already established, Lord, in heaven, God. And we just ask for it to be manifested now on earth, Lord. Let healing be Diane's portion today in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, God, that there would be, Lord, such a supernatural touch that it would marvel the doctors, Lord, when they investigate, Lord, on Tuesday. Right now, we release, Lord, your perfect will, your perfect plan, and your establishment of the kingdom of God in your daughter right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you love her, God, with an everlasting love. And Lord, that love is going to surround her, Lord. Comfort her, Lord. Take her through this, God. We pray for the whole family, God, that you would just give them peace that passes all understanding. That they'd be able to stand, Lord, through these difficult waters that as we've been singing about, Lord, and keep their eyes on you. Pray right now, Lord, for Rick, God, that you would just comfort his heart. Give him courage, God, to stand in faith. Lord, help his unbelief, as I'm sure he would be saying, Lord. Give him faith and confidence, Lord, in you, and we will be thankful, God, and rejoice in the results. We thank you, Lord, for the lives that have been spared, Lord, in Teresa, God, and in Brenda, Lord, and others, Lord, how you have miraculously touched them, Lord. We know you use doctors. We're thankful for them, Lord, but we know you're the healer. You work through their hands. You give them the knowledge, Lord. So we thank you, God, for the results, Lord, of faith that we're going to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you. I had to take a little bit of time there to do some prayer. So in this house, we're a big prayer family. We've seen it work, so we just want to take the time there and do some prayer. So basically, Angela has been feeling this on her heart about the Samaritan purse. And so she really wanted to take the kids and take them out and show them, you know, what we can do for others, kind of as a, you know, putting into action kind of thing. And so I'll let her kind of just talk about it, and then we're going to have the children come forward, and then we'll pray for them and go from there.
Okay, so Ty was busy working, and so I went ahead and I took the kids out to go shopping. And I originally was going to go to Walmart and just let the kids pick out things for a child their age. We've been showing the video for the last couple weeks. I don't know if there's people who haven't heard about it, but what it is to fill up a shoebox or a container, kind of the shoebox size, for things for children that are overseas in need that will not get anything for Christmas. And so we decided to go to the dollar store. I mean, who can't afford $10, you know, to give to a child? So Desiree, she decided to fill her thing with a bunch of stuff. I'll let her just pick out a few things, pull out a few things and show them what you picked out. So she got hair things and toothpaste and a toothbrush and a jump rope and markers. And the dollar store even has these fun little Bible activity books that I found that was really cool, because you don't know what you're planting by giving these to them. We found parables of the Bible, and then this really neat little activity book, and we got markers and stuff. So Nate, one of the first things that he found was this cute little hat. And he put it on instantly, and I could just envision this little kid, Nate's age, maybe a little younger, getting this and putting it on and running around and just having fun, you know. And that's really what it's about, is to give to these kids. We walked down to the store spending maybe just a little over $30, but my kids were so excited about giving this to the kids that Desiree and Nate were both asking, can we do it again? They wanted to fill a whole bunch more boxes. So please find in your heart to do this, because you don't know what you are planting in this child, someone that's not going to get anything. It makes their whole year, you know, and it blesses our kids. It blessed me so much. Just my kids had tons of stuff in the cart, and we had to go through and see what we could fit in the box. So I even got the totes at the Dollar Tree. So
yeah, and good point. This all has to be done by next week, because we're running out of time, because we've got to ship it because of how much time it takes to ship and go through the process. And so we've got to get everything done by next week. So we're just doing this as just an encouragement. And you don't know, something small like this can really touch someone, you know, who's in need. It can touch them in a special way that we don't even know. And so, yeah, just bring it to church on Sunday, and we'll take care of the rest. So, amen. So we'll just have the children come forward. So I'm going to pray for the children real quick, and then we'll dismiss them, and then we'll get into our word this morning. So, Father, we just thank you for each one of these children, Lord God. We just thank you for their minds, Lord God, that their minds would be sharpened this morning, Lord God. That, Lord God, that they would be growing in you substantially, Lord God. That they would receive all you have for them this morning, Lord God. That you would hold nothing back, Lord God, from them. Let them just be empowered, Lord God. Let them preach the word to their friends and people in school, Lord God. And in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Wow, I could just almost say, let's just go home, because God's been really touching hearts and lives, and we'll see if maybe he's not done, though, through this word this morning. How many know tonight at 4:30 is our annual chili cook-off, and it's a potluck, but there's lots of chili. So those of you who would like to participate with having your chili judged how good it is, and we have an award and everything, should have brought it up today, but it will be there this afternoon. Please bring your chili no later than 4 o'clock. That way we can make sure that it's there and ready to go at 4:30. So is that right, 4 o'clock? Okay. And right now I'm going to send around a sheet. If you've signed this, you don't need to sign it again. But if there's an area that somebody's already got their name in, say like salads, almost all taken, and it does get taken, you can just write over here. So I'm going to go ahead and send it down this way. So November 10th is, again, our chili cook-off. November 24th will be One Life Kids Super Sunday. All the kids would have cheered at that one, but they're gone. November 24th is going to be also our family communion night. Next week, we'll send around sign-up sheets, and they're in like 10 or 15-minute increments, and you just schedule as a family when you're going to come in. We'll meet you. We have a wonderful atmosphere set, and we just love being able to meet with you, pray with you, and share communion with you. So again, that will be 4:30 to 6:30. We'll send a sheet around next week. November 30th is going to be our Christmas decorating day. Yay! So it's hard to believe it's here already. Seems like we just did this before. And we're going to meet here at 9 a.m. And a lot of times, we can, because we usually go about 3 hours, and don't we try to have like a lunch or something usually? Sometimes, yeah, we'll see if that happens. As we get closer, we might hear more about that. And then December 6th is going to be the Women's Christmas Progressive Dinner. If you don't know what a progressive dinner is, you go from home to home and have a great meal at each home. So it's like 4 or 5 course meals. So enjoy, yeah. And that's at 6 p.m. on December 6th. And then the 22nd will be our children's Christmas play and candle lighting service at 6 p.m. How's that? Wonderful. Covered it, huh? Good. Praise the Lord. I think I'll just stay up here today. Thank you, Lord. I'm just so grateful for God's presence and for his unfailing appearance in our services. Seems like we never have a service where he doesn't show up and speak to us through prophetic words and encouraging words and sometimes challenging words. Also through his presence that brings healing and transformation. I want to encourage you today, if you haven't experienced, you know, a touch from heaven, you don't have to necessarily feel it. You can just leave today and start living different. And you're going like, what happened? Well, God touched you because you gave him an opportunity. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles, I want to kind of follow a theme again that's been here today. When I was praying this morning and actually reading the 90-day challenge, a verse popped out at me, and about an hour and a half later, it came back to my heart. So I realized that it wasn't just for my own personal devotion. It was for today. And I think I'm going to start all the way in Hosea and just read a couple of verses, and I think it will lay a little bit of a groundwork of what I want to have the Lord communicate through me today. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. Lord, your word is not stagnant. It is not bound by time when it was written, Lord. It's alive today. And so we just release now the anointing of the word into our hearts. Lord, we just come against every distraction, everything that the enemy would try to do to keep us from receiving today. Lord, we focus on you, and you are the truth. Holy Spirit, let your truth be revealed into our hearts today, Lord, so we can live lives differently, so we can live like Jesus here on earth, and that those that see us can see the light. Lord, you've called us as the light of the world. Lord, let our lives reflect that. Let our lives emanate that, Lord, that you live inside of us. So right now, Lord, we surrender this time, this word to you, and we just ask right now, Holy Spirit, to guide and direct everything that I say. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, we hear the prophet giving Israel an encouragement, but then also a challenge. And I want to kind of use this key kind of verse or key part of this verse out of 13, but I really want to kind of lay down the groundwork of 12. So if we read it here, it says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men." So in verse 12, we see the prophet telling them to sow themselves in righteousness, sow themselves in truth, sow themselves in, and I believe, holiness, all those things that they knew to do as a people, and to also break up their fallow ground. Now, a lot of people think, well, when you talk about fallow ground, you're talking about physical ground, because, you know, that's pretty much where we all think of fallow ground. Probably Ken over there really thinks of fallow ground a lot in the spring, right? Because you have a lot of soil to till. So, but the point being is that there is a spiritual fallow ground that we all have in our hearts, in our lives. And those are areas of our lives that we have not yielded to God yet. We have not given him full access. We have not allowed him to come in and bring the healing to that part of us that is hard. You know, he does take these stony hearts and give us hearts of flesh. But I think if we could examine our spiritual conditions, we would see part of our hearts that are flesh and part of our hearts that are hard. And so we need to realize that we have constantly got to come before God asking him to break up fallow ground in us. Now, most of this fallow ground comes from what we've been taught. Most of this fallow ground comes from experiences that we have had, and they cause us to what? They cause us to harden our hearts. They cause us to close ourselves off from the absolute truth. And because of that, God can't get in there. But you know what? There's a new day coming. Holy Spirit is pouring out the Spirit without measure on our lives, where we are coming into him and we're saying, "Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to give." And it's coming from, I believe, a Spirit's unction. It's coming from a Spirit's driven exclamation. It's not coming from Mike Lindell. It's coming from something Holy Spirit's doing in me. Holy Spirit's doing this work of transformation. So, for it is time to seek the Lord. There's always, for it is time to seek the Lord. Yesterday, it was time to seek the Lord. Today, it's time to seek the Lord. And guess what? Tomorrow, it will be time to seek the Lord. Till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So then he goes on to say, well, you've plowed in wickedness. Now he's saying, this is kind of what you've been doing. You have plowed in wickedness, and you have reaped iniquity. So now he's explaining to them, because they did not do what he just asked them to do, they're now dealing with wickedness. They're now reaping what they had sowed. And he tells them why. For you have eaten the fruit of lies. Now listen to that. That's a very powerful statement. You have eaten the fruit of lies. You have indulged yourselves in lies. And I want to tell you, folks, we have got to be very careful in this day that we live that we do not follow lies. Lies will kill you. It says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that the enemy wants to take us out. And what is he? He is the father of lies. So he wants us to chew on lies all day long. He wants us to devour them. He wants us to consume them. He wants them to consume us to the place where it says
because you trusted in your own way. Now, come on, what has the Lord been saying today in our service? Don't trust in what you see. Don't trust in your own thinking. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't look at the waves and let them dictate to you what you're going to do. Don't let the circumstances be what cause you to react to. Let God's word be what causes you to react. Let God's word be what drives you to Him. Amen? So listen, in the multitude of your mighty men, they believed that their armies were going to take care of them. Now, they'd seen God take care of them many times before, but for some reason right now, Israel was choosing to believe in their armies. They were choosing to say, you know what, we've got a host of armies, they're all well-trained, they're all good, and in the natural, it looked like they were going to be okay. Well, we find out that later on, what do they get? They get taken into captivity. They get blown away, basically, because they're trusting in the wrong thing. Now, would you turn with me in your Bible now to Galatians chapter 6? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, this is going right along with what we just read. The encouragement that Paul's giving the Galatians is right now, listen, don't be fooled. Don't be carried away with lies. He maybe didn't say that, but that's what that word deceived means. It means that someone has come and communicated something to you that is not the truth, and you've believed it. You've believed the lie over the truth. Sometimes you don't even know the truth is there because the lie looks so good. The lie makes so much sense to your natural man. How easy it is to fall into our own natural understanding, guys, isn't it? Yeah. To see something and evaluate it and say, well, this makes sense. I'm going to follow this. And then what ends up happening? We comes to nothing. It says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is death. I don't mean that always means we're going to die, but I believe sometimes that means it's a death of a dream, or it's a death of something you desired, or it's a death of a part of you, inside of you, that then becomes hard. So if we look at this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will reap. Listen, you cannot sow into unrighteousness and reap glory. You can't sow into unrighteousness and reap the truth and light. It won't happen. You can't sow into the flesh and reap the spirit. It's impossible. So we have to realize that as the people of God, we have to sow into our spirits. See, listen, we are a spiritual being, folks. More than anything else, you're a spiritual being. Your spiritual being is an everlasting being. Your spiritual being is what you will be into eternity. Your flesh, it's going to drop off. This tent, some point, we just heard about it today. Friday, she went to a funeral, and she experienced someone's tent being left. Their spirit was gone. Their soul was gone. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this lady knew God, then she is with the Lord. And she'll be with Him forever. But we today, now still in this tent, have to make choices. We have to choose to follow Him. Now, I always thought that the choices meant that I had to do a whole bunch of stuff. I had to read enough of my word, and I would get this laundry list that if I didn't match up to those things, then I wasn't following God. And that's a lie. Because what it is, it's choosing to let Him be in your life all the time. It's choosing when you're not letting Him be in your life to say, oh, you know what, Father, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. I'm turning back to you. I lost my way. I got deceived. I started sowing into the flesh. I started sowing into my own life, into my own, you know, material gain. In the United States, that is a big thing for us, folks. We can let the mighty dollar be what we chase. We can let the mighty dollar be what we set our focus on, our attention on. Just like Israel is looking at that warriors of men, I've got a 401k, I've got stocks and bonds, I've got, you know, my my retirement with work, you know, all these things. And you can put your trust in those, and you know what? Not a good place to put your trust. You can still do those things, but don't say that those are what's going to take care of you. Don't say those are your source. Don't say that that's what's going to help you make it through. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Wow. That's pretty clear. If we sow to our flesh, and what is the flesh? Now, some people say, well, Pastor Mike, that's talking about going out and smoking. It's talking about drinking. You know, we can all put these pictures of what the flesh are. No, folks, the flesh is anything opposite of God. So I may do something sowing in the flesh, and to you it may not be sowing in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit will remind me, son, you're sowing in the flesh right now. And he may tell you something that else that's sowing in the flesh. We all have to hear in our own hearts. What James said to that man, now some people say, well, alcohol's not good. Well, let the man hear in his own heart. How much better is that than 20 years from now, he says, well, someone told me not to do it. Instead of God himself saying, son, that's not my way for you. I have a way for you that if you choose not to put that in your place, I'm going to bless you beyond blessing. Let Holy Spirit, let God speak to his child. Praise the Lord. That's awesome, though, brother. What a testimony. God is moving in the Williams household. Praise God. I'm sure many of us can say, thank you, Lord, that you're moving in our household as well. Maybe some of you could get up here and say, wow, you're not going to believe, Pastor, what's been going on in my house. And I believe a Sunday's coming. A day is coming where many are going to get up and say, whoa, you're not going to believe what happened. Because God is moving. He is on the move. For he who sows to the flesh will also reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, it's really easy, as you said, Pastor Gay, that we can take this everlasting life and be what we focus on for everlasting, but not now. Folks, there's an everlasting life we can walk in right now. There is a deposit from heaven that lives in each and resides in each and every one of us. Holy Spirit has taken habitation in these earthen vessels. It says that there's a heavenly glory that is resting on us and in us. But do we sow to it? Or do we sow to the flesh? Do we sow into this internal glory that's been given to us freely? We didn't have to beg for it. All we had to say is, Lord, take over my life. He says, oh, I'm just waiting to. Here's my Holy Spirit to help you. Same Holy Spirit, it says in Romans 8, that raised him from the dead lives in you and I. The kind of power that a nuclear bomb is dwarfed by, folks. It's dwarfed by a nuclear bomb. That's what resides in us, this glory in earthen vessels. But if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. I don't want to reap corruption. I know you guys don't. So let's sow to the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? This sounds very spiritual, which it is. It's very spiritual. But all you need to do as a child of God is, number one, realize you're a child of God. That you are a son, that you are a daughter, that you have a heavenly Father that's waiting to speak to you, that's waiting to say your name and communicate to you how much he loves you, how much he believes in you. Did you guys know that God believes in you? When you don't believe in yourself, he believes in you. Poor Peter, he had this master of masters on his boat, and he had told Peter to get some fish when he had been fishing all night, and Peter says, you know, I'll just do what you say, master. It does not make any sense in the natural. And they pull up a haul of fish, calls his friends over, and afterwards, Peter's going, oh, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus looks at him and says, no, that's not who you are. I see who you are. You're Peter. You're Peter. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men. See, Jesus who was God, not just a man, he was God. He saw the potential in Peter in his dark spot. And for all of us, every single one of you out there, that's who Jesus sees in us. He sees the greatness of who we are. He sees Holy Spirit residing in us, and he sees our completed work. All we have to do is maybe say, amen, I receive that work in my life, Jesus. I receive that work in my life, Lord. You see it, so it must be there. So I'm not going to believe anymore what I see. I'm going to believe who you say I am. So listen, we've got to quit sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption and start sowing to the Spirit, reap everlasting life. Let's go to Galatians 5, just one chapter back, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit is the headline, if you see it, walking in the Spirit. Verse 16, 5:16, those of you who were in school leaders years ago, this is one of the things we memorized. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, or these are opposing forces. They're opposing forces. In other words, one's going to win, or the other one's going to win. David Martinez, you remember that sermon? Which dog you're going to feed, right? I'm not going to go there right now, but you know, there's going to be a winner. One of the two is going to win. So, who are we going to let win? Well, if you sow to the flesh, guess what you're going to let win? It's so easy, you're going to let the flesh win. You sow to the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? You're going to let the Spirit win. And it may sound hard, but it's really simple. I mean, Jesus said it. Listen, cast your cares upon me. I care for you, man. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There is a way that does seem right to us, but in the end, it leads to nothing. And Jesus' way is the way, folks. Remember last week's sermon? That's so clear that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But praise God that we have Holy Spirit inside of us, and we don't have to have our own ways. We don't have to have our own thoughts. He can lead and guide us into all truth. All truth. That's what the Bible says. Now, if he said all, what does that mean? Let's just do a little English here. All. It means all. So there is a way in God that we can walk in 100% truth. What does that mean? That means there's no deception in us. That means that there's no root of lies in us. That means we're walking in a light that darkness doesn't have a place. You know, Jesus said something to his disciples when he was describing something to him. He says, listen, Satan has come to me, and you know, he tried to do some stuff, but he didn't do it, and he's found nothing in me now. He's found nothing in me. I believe, folks, we can walk in a place where he can't find anything in us. He can't hook us. He can't say, well, you know, you did this, you said that. You say, no, 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 that's under the blood, that's under Jesus. I'm walking in the light as he's in the light. You have no place in me. I don't even give you the moment to speak in my ear right now, so be gone. Come on, let's start walking as who we are. We're children of God. We're people of a heavenly kingdom. Don't look at that we're in a room here on earth bound by gravity. That's a lie. Right now, we're seated in heavenly places, every single one of us. Somehow, some way, there's a part of us that's more connected to heaven than we're actually connected here. I'm telling you the truth. There's a part of us that's more connected in heaven right now than we're connected even here. And someday, when this tent's done, we'll realize that. And as it says in Psalms, we'll look back at it and say, was that a dream? Because we're going to like go, whoa. Whoa, this is technicolor like I've never seen it. And this will seem like a dream to us. Wow. That's what it says. It says in one of the Psalms, can't quote it right now, Jesse could look it up, but one of the Psalms, it says that the wicked, when they wake up, they're going to say, was that a dream and what is this? Well, I'm sure it's probably going to be pretty much the same for us. We're going to go like, whoa. But guess what? We can walk in some of heaven down here right now to where I don't think we go whoa as much, because we go, ah, this is my home. in technicolor, though. You guys, we can't even begin to imagine, the Bible says, or even comprehend. We can't even think about the great things that God has in store for us. That's in Corinthians. But for the lust of the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Right there's your answer. The flesh, when it's sown to, keeps you from doing what you desire. How many really in this room desire to go out and totally blow it for God? Any hands? Nobody. Nobody here has that desire in their heart, right? I hope not. If you do, we've got a counseling station we'll set up right now. No, I'm kidding. But really, what happens is that we have this heavenly desire, but we've sown to the flesh. And we reap the corruption of the flesh. But that's not God's intent. God's intent is to pour out his spirit upon us to the place where we go into rooms, guys, I believe that a glory will be residing on us, a presence of God that others will be attracted to. And you've heard testimonies of that. People who come into work after a weekend and they get saved and they go into work and they're like, who's glowing? You know, and they're not even saying anything. It's just something God did in them. That might even happen to some of you this week. You never know. You might go to work. What happened? Well, God touched me. And apparently I didn't even know it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Boy, that's good news. Because, you know, that law is what we end up succumbing to, the law of sin and death, when we sow to the flesh. Now listen, I just want to give you just a real quick way to walk by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is just saying in the morning when you get up, or during the day sometime, in the morning would be good to start your day that way. Maybe somebody, I don't have mornings. Okay, well, in the afternoon when you wake up. But when you start to get your progressive day going, to say, Father, guide me. Lord Jesus, guide me. Holy Spirit, guide me today. When I get off track, nudge me a little bit. For some, you need to kick in the, you know. You can pray that. He's okay with that. It's a, oh, that's sacrilege. No, he knows you. He made you. So he knows that sometimes we need a good swift kick. Anybody sometimes need a good swift kick? Amen, Pastor. And I'm raising my hand. The point being is that if we just ask him, he's going to be faithful to do what we ask, isn't he? It's just taking the time. It really is. It's just saying, you know what? I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't want to reap corruption. I don't want to be in a position where I'm regretting my actions during the day or regretting my actions during a month or however long I walk in the flesh and go, oh, how did I do that again? I'm just going to yield to the Holy Spirit because he's inside of me. Folks, if we could see ourselves in some kind of spiritual mirror, we'd be changed. If we could see who's inside of us, the power that's inside of us, the glory that resides in us, not in a pompous way, but in a way of gratefulness and gratitude, that we walk it out, we would be amazed. So Holy Spirit, do that. Shine your light in us. It's amazing when you read the word, how it becomes like a mirror. All of a sudden you start seeing, like you said, James, you start seeing, oh my, is that really truth, Lord? And he starts saying, yep. And he starts validating us as children. He starts validating us as people on this earth in this hour for such a time as this, with a calling, with the mission that is the Great Commission. And what is the Great Commission? To go make disciples of all men, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's really easy, but it's very difficult when we try to do it in our own strength. Romans 8, final verse. Romans 8, 5. Is this helping anyone? Good, okay. Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, we have a gift that God has given us called an imagination. And our imagination can be vain and puffed up, or imagination can be humble and grateful and seeking God. So it's up to us to choose what we do with our imagination. You know, we're supposed to cast down vain imaginations. We're supposed to cast down things. And how do you cast them down? You literally say, I'm not gonna focus on that anymore. Some people think if something's ran through their mind, that, oh my goodness, it ran through my mind, I had a thought, I'm all done. No, that's not the truth at all, because you know what? Jesus was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. So somehow the thought came in his mind. He didn't keep it. And he's given you and me that same power. We don't have to keep these thoughts. We don't have to keep these vain imaginations. So you know what? If you start to think a certain way, say, Holy Spirit, I just yield to you right now, and I say, show me another imagination. We'll start picturing Jesus on the cross, arms stretched out, nails in his hands and feet for you. For you. And guess what? That same Jesus who now lives inside of you will enable you and empower you not to think that way. Think of him with arms stretched out saying, come to me. Think of a scripture that says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But focus your imagination on something else. Focus your attention and your mind on something else. Because what did it say there? If we, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, you could say set their minds on things of the Spirit. Now that's kind of difficult for some of us though. Because some of us have been told, well, your imagination isn't good. You know, and even thinking about, you know, when I said Jesus up there, oh, well, that's like imaging something. Well, it's imaging something good. Jesus, your Savior. You know, if you've seen a movie like The Passion and you've seen what he went through, remember that. And that's nothing compared to what he went through. And say, Lord, you did that for me. And you didn't just do that for me so that I could be saved and have everlasting life someday. You did that for me so that I could walk as you walked on this earth. You did that for me so that I could be Christ-like, so that the way that you lived, I can live. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. There it is again. There's a way that seems right to a man, carnally minded, leaning on your own understanding, thinking you've reasoned it out and it makes total sense, so it's got to be right. Uh-uh. Do not be like that. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes it takes a school of hard knocks. For you youth right now, you're saying, well, I'm able to decide things. My parents don't know nothing, so I got to be the one. You know, I'm just saying, you know, because it can be that the older you get, maybe the easier you are at saying, you know what? I'm tired of hitting my head against that brick wall. I got a big lump on my head. But you don't have to wait till you're 53 like me. Today, remember it said back, today can be the day that you say, from now on, I'm not going to follow that course. I'm not walking down that path. I'm not going to allow my heart to be deceived like that anymore. I'm not going to follow and sow into the flesh anymore. You're saying, well, Pastor Mike, that sounds awful bold. Yes, we need to be bold. It says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. We need to get aggressive with our spiritual walk instead of just, oh my goodness, oh yeah. No, we need, and I'm not saying in a way that, you know, you're blasting Jesus on people where they can't even, you know, they can't even hear. I'm talking about us saying, you know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken my mortal body, not just in health, but quicken my mortal body to live free from sin. You know, it says in Romans 6 that when we were buried with him in baptism, when we went into those baptism waters, our old man died. It's been crucified with Christ. So what is it then? Why we keep doing what we do? Because we keep focusing on the flesh. We set our minds on things below, and we live in chaos and frustration and anger and lack. When, if we'd set our mind on things above, His perfect peace is going to guard our hearts. Even when there's storms all around, His perfect peace is going to be carrying us through. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Do we believe it? If we believe it, let's live it. Let's quit just quoting it on Sunday or having it preached to you on Sunday. Let's just say, you know what, for crying out loud, I'm tired of crying out loud. I'm ready to cry out to God and have Him take over this vessel and become something that I've been called to be for this day and hour. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So listen to this. It's not the flesh just opposing the Spirit in us. This carnal mind is literally an enemy of God. Have you ever thought about that? That when I'm thinking in the flesh, I'm joining the enemy's side. You know, it says that in Romans 12, it says that there's an urging that Paul does to present our bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. And he says it's your very reasonable service of worship. In other words, for you to present your body as a living sacrifice is the very beginning. It's the first stage. And that's called worship. So on the other side, when we are sowing to the flesh, enemies against God, who are we worshiping? I'll let you fill in the blank. Worshiping God here, worshiping something else over here. You know, it's not that hard to start following Satan. Peter, who was around Jesus all the time, you know, day and night, started spouting off man's wisdom, man's reasoning, and said, no, Jesus, you're not going to be crucified. You're going to become king. He didn't say that, but that's what he was meaning. You're Messiah. We've all heard who Messiah is going to be. He's going to rule. And Jesus bursts his bubble. Get behind me, Satan. You do not know the plans of God. You don't know what you're talking about. But he identified Peter not as Peter. He said, you're Satan. Go mull on that one a little bit. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So what does that mean? It's not subject to the ordinances of God. The carnal mind, if you're in your carnal mind, you cannot follow the ways of God. This is so clear. I mean, it's this clear. Okay, I've got a bunch of seeds, but they're all the same plant. I'm going to plant an apple tree. So I'm going to go and put them on an 8x16 planting. I used to do irrigation, so I know good plantings. 8x16 planting, and I'll build a trellis for them later. And I plant these apple seeds. I start watering them, and the tree starts coming up. You know what? And I'm going, oh, good, the apples are coming, you know. And I keep watering and keep watering, you know. And then when the crops come, that doesn't look like an apple. What is that? And so, you know, I start examining it. That's not, you know, I call Ken over. Ken, this is not apples, is it? And he goes, no, I'm not sure what it is, but it's not an apple. I know that. And so we go on, and all of a sudden this fruit comes, and I got an orange. Well, somebody sold me the wrong seed. And it's a miracle that they're growing in Washington. So I got a miracle. I'm kidding. That was a bad illustration. Anyway, the point being is that you're not going to get oranges on an apple tree. You're not going to get the Spirit on a flesh tree. It won't happen. You can't sow apple seeds and get an orange. You can't sow flesh seeds and get the Spirit. And folks, we are called this day, this hour, to walk in the Spirit like never before. We're called in this day and this hour to receive from heaven orders that are directly from God Himself for each and every one of our lives, that we can go out and live. And people will see that mandate on our lives, and they'll want what we have. Not because we're better than them, but because we love them with an everlasting love, because we're loved that way. But you can't receive the love of God living in fear. When you're in your flesh, you're fearful. You're hiding. You don't want to see God. You don't want Him to see you. And as we were encouraged today, that He sees us. He knows us. There's no reason to hide. All we have to do is say, Father, forgive me. I know not what I did. And I may have known what I did, but forgive me anyway. And he will. He's so faithful. He's just. Forgiveness, forgive us all unrighteousness. What's all? Come on. All. Everything. So, guys, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked in your life. You know what that word mocked means? You look it up in the Greek. It means to turn your nose up to someone. Now, you may not think, well, I'm not doing this. Your sowing to the flesh is like doing that. Satan in heaven, the very king of pride, was doing this. No. You don't need the glory, God. I'm beautiful. Look at me, a created being who thought he was all that and a bag of chips, and said, look at me. Angels, look at me. I'm beautiful. I'm glorious. And God said, bye-bye. He was doing this. So when we follow the flesh, we're following his plan. We're following his ways. And unfortunately, it is very difficult in our own reasoning, our own thought process, to distinguish that ourselves, folks. The days are getting darker. The line of demarcation is being drawn. But there's also a wide area that seems to be developing at the same time that's very gray. And it's Holy Spirit who's going to have to work out each and one of those issues in all of our lives. I, even as your pastor, can't tell you exactly how to live. Because I don't live inside of you. But Holy Spirit does. And he can tell you exactly how to live. And how to make a difference in your families. Make a difference in your workplace. Make a difference in your schools. Make a difference in this valley. And even this world. Based on how you may live. Amen. Stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I don't do this that often, but I really feel this is a call type message that needs a response. And for those of you who just want to say, you know what, Pastor, I have been sowing to the flesh. I have been giving myself over to things that I know I should not be dabbling in, or I have been thinking in ways that I know I shouldn't be thinking, and I don't want to do it anymore. Man, I just want to encourage you to just come up right now. Just make a commitment right now. Lord, forgive me for my backwards thinking. Forgive me of my perverse thinking that's not aligned with yours. That's all perverse thinking is. It doesn't align with the Word of God. That's all it is. Doesn't always have to be, you know, pornography and all this other stuff we call perverse thinking. Perverse thinking is crooked thinking other than God's way. And it's really easy to think like that. I'm saying I'm a candidate here, folks. I fight it too. I easily start going down what seems right in my own eyes till the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing? Where are you going? Where am I in this? Anybody else hear that? So I want to encourage you. If you say, Pastor, I just want to have a new level of grace of the Holy Spirit working in my life. I want to totally trust him. I want my heart fixed on him. I don't want to be using my own wisdom, my own ideas, my own understanding to try to figure things out. And if that's you, just come up right now and just receive a grace that I believe is here. It's going to help you walk in truth. Walk in the light as he's in the light. It says that we're not going to fulfill those desires of lust of the flesh as we walk in the Spirit. Truth is waiting to be revealed. Truth is waiting to be poured out right now in our hearts. We thank you, Lord. See our hearts, God. We're in desperate need for your guidance. We're in desperate need, Lord, for your leading, Holy Spirit. We're in desperate need, Lord, for your truth, God, to just eradicate the lies, the deceptions, the schemes and plans of the enemy. We admit and acknowledge our total dependence on you right now. Father, I release your Holy Spirit to be awakened in each child of yours right now in Jesus' mighty name. I just release Holy Spirit, have full access right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let their thoughts be your thoughts, Lord. Let their ways be your ways, Lord. Let your ways be their ways, Lord. Let them be fully in sync with Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Release your glory over these lives, over these hearts, God, that are so surrendered, so committed to you right now in Jesus' name. We just give you full surrender. We give you full access. We just give you, Lord, what we have, our humble hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that's at work in us. That we don't have to leave here thinking we've got all of a sudden figured out. Holy Spirit, you've got it figured out. And you live in us. And you have residence. And you have a divine plan for us. So, Lord, we just yield and surrender to your will. We yield and surrender to your ways now. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes.
Till I can reach heaven, I'm gonna shout your name. Till the walls come falling down, I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy.
Tells a woman at the well something so powerful, and we need to take it and live it today. It says that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Wow, what a statement. Truth is part of our act of worship. Total transparency is part of our act of worship. Total revelation of what God wants us to know is part of our worship. Total yielding to Holy Spirit by our spirit and walking in the Spirit is just part of our worship. And the Father of lights, the Father of love, is seeking on the earth those who will worship him like that. So when you get up tomorrow morning, just start your day. I've come to worship. Maybe no piano, no drums, no guitar, unless you have that song on. I don't know where that's at. But my point being is your day, you're going to live in spirit and in truth. And you're going to worship him how you live. Wow. Worship isn't just about Sunday. It's a 365, 24/7. And when we live like that, wow, we don't have to worry about the lusts of the flesh. They're done. They're done. Well, I love you guys. You have a great day. Some people still getting ministry. If you have a physical need in your body and you need healing, there'll be people up here that'll be willing and ready to pray for you for healing. Love you.